The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of redlegnation.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Red Leg Nation Radio podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. Thanks again for downloading us. Really appreciate that. Took a little bit of a hiatus there from the podcast for a few weeks because, well, frankly, the red season got us down a little bit. But we're about to get right back into the off-season swing of things. A lot of interesting things going to be happening in Reds land for the next few months. Off-season's always interesting one way or the other. We'll be talking about all of that. Got a couple of interesting podcasts lined up for you. Going to talk some prospects, some very interesting prospects in the Reds organization who are on the brink of being in the majors. We're going to talk about some of those guys in upcoming podcasts. But today we've got an interesting interview that Bill Lack, one of our editors at Red Leg Nation, conducted with Mark Flory. Mark is was the fourth-round pick for the Reds this year, 119th overall in the 2009 first-year amateur draft. Now, Mark's a very highly touted catcher defensively, certainly he's off the charts defensively from what we can tell. And, you know, his OPS was almost 1,000 this year in college. Now, I got to say this, though, as far as college, I hope Flurry has all the success in the world for the Reds. But I've cheered hard against him for the last 3 years. He went to college at the University of North Carolina. Those of you that are familiar with the podcast and with Red Leg Nation know that I'm a University of Virginia graduate. Let me say that again. I didn't say that correctly. 2009 ACC baseball tournament champion, Virginia Cavaliers. But certainly North Carolina's got a great program. Mark was one of the four or five guys that were picked in the first four rounds of this last draft for North Carolina. They obviously made it to the College World Series along with Virginia. And it's a top-notch program for a kid to come out of. He got some he played against a high level of competition there at Carolina and certainly prepared him, you would hope, for the major leagues. Although, you know, Billings, he had a sort of a rude introduction to the pros, but in just a short stint. So everyone fully expects him to have a fantastic year, just 21 years old next year. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Bill here with our Red Leg Nation radio interview with Reds minor league catcher Mark Flurry.
Nation Radio, and today we are very proud to have with us Mark Flurry, the Reds 2009 number four draft pick. How you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing great. Let's start with some personal information. You're a Georgia boy?
Yes, sir.
From Roswell?
Yes, sir. Roswell, Georgia, a little bit north of Atlanta.
Okay. What about brothers and sisters?
I've got two older sisters, so I'm the baby and the only boy.
So I assume you were a Braves fan growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yep, big time Braves fan. We had season tickets, was there for the World Series, and then that was a fun time in my life.
Yeah, they had quite a run there, didn't they?
They sure did.
Who were your favorite players when you were growing up?
Oh, my favorite player of all time was Cal Ripken Jr. I just love the way he went day in, day out, did his business, and he's just always been the guy that I've tried to model my game after and looked up to always.
You say you'd like to model your game after him. How so? You mean just the way you approach the game, or
right? Not like change my batting stance every different game that he seems like he had 4,000 different batting stances. But I just love the way that he played hard and he showed up to the field every day ready to go, and he was the Ironman for a reason, and his team really appreciated it, and and all of baseball really appreciated what he did for the sport.
I read somewhere when I was doing a little bit of research on you that your dad played baseball at Cornell.
Yes, sir.
Was he a catcher?
No, he was actually a shortstop at Cornell. So he instilled, you know, the love for baseball in me from a very young age, and he's definitely been the most influential person in my life, baseball wise.
So let's talk about when you started playing ball a little bit, and how old were you when you started playing Little League or whatever the young baseball is in Georgia?
Right, I was 4 years old playing YMCA T-ball at the Y, and then played Little League and travel ball got big, you know, when I was 12, 13 years old. So actually my first outing outside of my house when I was born was one of my dad's baseball games that he was coaching in. So that was, I guess it's always been in me.
Were you always a catcher?
For the most part, you know, I grew up playing everywhere. And then when I was 12, the guy at shortstop was better than me. So they moved me behind the plate, and I've been there ever since.
Okay. So how did I assume you grew up? Were you a Georgia Bulldog fan growing up also?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't really a Georgia sports fan. I wasn't big on Georgia football or Georgia Tech or, you know, my dad went to Cornell. My mom went to LSU, and then she went to North Carolina. So I was always a big North Carolina basketball fan. But, you know, I was never a big Georgia football fan, Georgia Tech baseball, Georgia Tech basketball. So, you know, I was just a big fan of sports in general.
So it wasn't a big change, or, you know, any big dramatic move for you when you ended up at North Carolina playing ball?
Oh, no, not at all. That was my number one choice ever since, you know, I guess my freshman year of high school, when I really thought about, you know, playing college baseball.
But were there other schools that were interested in you when you were coming out of high school?
Definitely, but and the way it worked itself out is that none of the Georgia schools were interested in me. They had already had catchers commit earlier than, you know, I wanted to be recruited. So, you know, I took my time and I worked hard and went to camps in North Carolina, and it was the place I wanted to go. So I tried to let those coaches see me as much as they could.
And you had quite a career at North Carolina there. You made a quite a statistical jump between your sophomore and junior years. Can you attribute that to anything? I mean, is it just a maturity, physical, or a combination of these things? Or
yeah, definitely. It was you know, my freshman year didn't play much at all. We had two great catchers, one that's in AAA with the Braves now, and the other that's in High A with the Red Sox. Then my sophomore year, I pretty much just DH'd most of the year and caught maybe one game a week. But it, really, the summer of my sophomore year playing up in the Cape Cod League, I gained a lot of confidence playing against, you know, the best pitching and catching some of the best pitchers in the country. And I had a pretty good summer up there and came back to school with a lot of confidence. And, you know, the hard work, you know, combined with a little bit of confidence, really helped me this past spring as far as, I guess, the stats go.
You mentioned the Cape Cod League, and one of our former spotlight players, Thomas Pauley, was a guy that was featured in a book on the Cape Cod League a few years ago. I don't know if you read the book.
I haven't read it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Cape Cod League?
It's a beautiful place, first off, and it's the number one destination you want to go to play summer ball, just because of the competition and the scouts that are there and just the atmosphere. So, you know, I always wanted to go there, and I originally wasn't placed when they placed guys in the fall, and I told my coaches, you know, if I'm not playing up in the Cape, I don't want to play anywhere else. And it worked itself out that I kept pushing, and our coaches were working for me, and I got placed in Harwich, so I was extremely excited about that.
And that's a wood bat league. How much do you think that helps you with the pro scouts?
It helps you a lot, because they want to see how you hit with wood. So, you know, when you have a little bit of success up there, or you don't, you know, they know what they're looking at. So it's definitely a help as far as the transition wise, making it a little bit easier. You're playing with wood all summer, and it helps out a lot, and it really helped me.
Do you see a big adjustment? Did you feel a big adjustment going from aluminum to wood?
Not really that much. Other than, you know, you can miss hit balls with the aluminum bat and end up, you know, getting a flare single or, you know, a ball popping out of the yard. But you know, it's all about getting the barrel on the ball, and it's baseball. So I really didn't see too much of a difference.
Yeah, a few years ago we talked to Jay Bruce, and Jay said it doesn't make any difference really what kind of bat it is. If you hit it square, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, he's got that right, and he does that a lot.
Yeah. You came out after your junior year.
Yes, sir.
And I think your degree, or you're working on your communication studies. Is that what you were working on?
I'm actually in the middle of changing that. I was originally going to be a communications major, but decided to change it to history. I had the same amount of credits for everything, so I'm just gonna major in history and minor in communications now.
Are you close to finishing up?
I've got two semesters left, so I'm right on track.
All right, that's great. When did you, you know, when you were, you know, coming along in your career at North Carolina, when did you realize that you had a chance to maybe get drafted?
I guess when I saw the catcher in front of me, Tim Fedorovich, get drafted, and I realized, you know, I was a good player too, and I had some talent that, you know, I could play pro ball and I could compete with the best competition out there. So I guess, you know, again, back to my sophomore year, that was really a changing point in my professional baseball career, I guess, attitude wise.
Had you had any interest in you coming out of high school?
Just a little bit. It was going to take a lot for me to, you know, back out of my commitment to North Carolina, because that was somewhere I really wanted to go. And along with the success we had the 3 years I was there, the degree you get from Carolina, it's one of the top you can get. So
absolutely,
that was definitely one of the hard factors of me not wanting to play pro ball out of high school.
Well, it sounds like from the way you've kind of talked about your parents a little bit, the education is a big requirement in your home.
Yeah, definitely. They pushed it, so I'm thankful to them that they did.
Yeah. Were you drafted about where you thought you'd be drafted? You know, you picked in the fourth round, which is pretty daggone high.
Right.
Is that about where you thought you'd go?
I honestly had no idea. You know, wasn't dealing with an agent or anything. I didn't have anybody telling me, you know, where I was going to go. I was just excited to go and get an opportunity to play professional baseball. So I was really looking to get drafted, just and get a chance to play. And it so happened that it was in the fourth round, and very thankful to the Reds that they took the chance on me.
Did you give any thought to going back for your senior year?
A little bit, but I really wanted to get out and play professional baseball, because it's been a dream of mine ever since I was little, and you know, now is the best time to do it, and you know, you couldn't be with a better organization with the Cincinnati Reds. So you know, all the factors were there that I, you know, I was ready to go, and I was ready to sign.
Do you look in the organization at the other catching prospects and see where you might stack up, you know, where you think you rate against the other prospects in the organization, or do you just worry about yourself right at this point?
You know, you just got to worry about yourself. Those, you know, we've got unbelievable catching in our organization, and you know, getting the chance to see those guys this fall out in Phoenix and at the new complex in Goodyear, you know, we've got some great catchers. And you know, right now you just have to worry about yourself. Everything will work out if you work hard enough and put yourself in a situation to succeed, that good things will happen.
So you've been out to the new complex. You're the first guy that we've talked to that's been out there. Tell us a little bit about about Goodyear.
Wow, it's an unbelievable place. It's first class everything. It's beautiful. The complex is great. The fields are great. The staff are great. The people out there are great. it's definitely an exciting time to be a Cincinnati Red. So I'm excited to get back out there for spring training in March, just to get out there and start playing at that place again.
Tell us a little bit about your game. What's the strongest part of your game?
I have a pretty good leader on the field. Know how to control a game and you know, make adjustments within the game. But as far as, you know, offense, defense, you got to work to improve it all the time. So I feel like my leadership and my game management, which I learned in North Carolina, has really helped me take the step into pro ball.
Okay, give us some of your thoughts on your first year of professional baseball. I mean, you struggled a little bit at Billings.
Right. Yeah.
But tell us about your thoughts on what impacted you the most and what made the impressions on you of your first year in professional baseball.
Well, it obviously didn't go the way I planned. And it's helpful, you know. I came in thinking that I was gonna have the same type of success I had at college, and it didn't happen. And it's very humbling. And baseball is a humbling sport, as everyone knows. But that said, you know, it's just another reason why you need to keep working and keep getting better. It wasn't so much. I felt like I was overmatched or you know, that the guys were better than me, but I felt that, you know, I just tried to do way too much, and, you know, I was just pressing all the time, and, you know, when you start sliding a little bit, it just, everything keeps snowballing, and you know, it just didn't turn out the way that I felt that I wanted it to. So, you know, but overall, good first experience. I'm glad that it's over with, and looking forward to next spring.
Turning the page, huh?
Yeah, but you know, you gotta learn from it, and I definitely did. And having, you know, the coaches we had and the instructors we had, I learned a lot about myself and a lot about the game.
You did an interview with the Billings Gazette in August, and in that interview, you said that one of the reasons you thought you struggled was you were trying to do too much, and you just said it again now. Explain to us kind of what you mean by that.
You know, it's when you get in hitter's counts or you're trying to throw guys out, you try to be perfect. And, you know, that really hurt me. You know, instead of just going out there and just trusting my ability and trusting, you know, what I've worked on all through high school and all through college and all through every summer, you know, just worked on, you know, being the player that I am. I just tried to be someone that I wasn't, and it ended up hurting me a lot. And, you know, once you learn from that, I think it'll be a different story.
You're the highest round draft pick that we've ever sat down and done one of these long interviews with. When we talked to Jay a couple years ago, it was a quick dugout thing. Being a guy that was drafted high, do you think that you face different kinds of pressures than guys that are drafted further down?
No, not at all. Because when you get into the game and when you get into the situations, you're another ball player, and you got to go out there and perform. It doesn't matter if you're drafted in the first round or the 50th round. When you get your opportunities, you got to make the most of them. So, you know, I believe I put little stock into, you know, where guys are picked, because, you know, you've seen it so many times that, you know, those low draft picks end up being great major league ball players. So, you know, it doesn't have much stock for me.
We've also never talked to a catcher on Red Leg Nation Radio before. Tell us what life is like in the minor leagues as a catcher.
It's grueling, especially after playing 70 or 66 games in college and then, you know, another 35, 40 in short season. But, you know, it took its toll on the body, but, you know, you got to learn how to put yourself in the right situations, the right, you know, eat right and train your body the right way that you can last a season. So I definitely think that was a learning experience for me, you know, conditioning wise.
You talk about eating right, and one of the things that I think it was Logan Parker talked about when we talked to him a couple of years ago when he had just finished in Billings I think he was a little surprised by how much emphasis they have a nutritionist, I think, come in and talk to the guys.
Definitely, yep. They give us a list of foods we should shop for at the grocery store, and they put a lot of emphasis on putting your body in the right state to where we can succeed.
Yeah, it's kind of funny though, because they tell you guys all these good things that you ought to put in your body, but because of your schedule and the way that things are done, it's almost impossible to do.
It's really tough to eat right at 11 o'clock at night when your games are over, and the only things that are open are fast food restaurants. And,
when you're in Great Falls, Montana, at 11 o'clock at night, and
that's it's tough to do, but you got to find a way to do it. Especially on those bus rides, eating chips and candy bars, and I love chocolate, so it's tough.
Let me ask you another question. When you're struggling offensively, how tough is it to forget about that when you put on the gear and get down behind the plate and make sure it doesn't affect that part of your game?
It's something you have to learn. You just have to flush it and get it out of the system. And there's two different sides of the game. You can impact the game any way. And if you're not doing it with a bat one night, you got to do it behind the plate. You got to help your pitchers out. You got to help your team out. And vice versa. If you're having a tough game behind the plate, you make up for it with a bat. So, you can help your team win in any way, and you can't take your offensive or defensive failures onto the other side of the baseball.
When you're playing when you were playing in Billings last year, is there a coach on the staff that has a working, enough knowledge of catching to really help you?
Julio helped me out a good bit, but other than that, there wasn't much, catching playing experience. But getting into instructs, working with PK Pat Kelly, that was a good learning tool for me. He sure knows a lot about catching, and he helped me out a lot.
Now, is he like a catching coordinator in the organization? Or is there a catching coordinator?
I'm pretty sure there's not a catching coordinator, but he is the catching instructor.
Okay. Tell us about playing in Billings, the good and the bad, and you can tell us about your host family and the stadium. And
well, the stadium is, this is its second year, and it was beautiful. The best stadium in the Pioneer League out there. We were lucky to play there, because there are some stadiums, with some of the other organizations that are not very good. Not as nice, yes. In our host family, we had a great host family. I stayed with James Walczak, a right-handed pitcher. We had a great host family, and Billings is the biggest city in Montana, so there was enough to do. It's still Montana, and it's not like suburban Atlanta or Raleigh area that where you can find things to do. But it was a great place to start my career.
Are you saying there was a little culture shock, Mark, when you went to Montana?
Yeah, definitely. Being from being from Metro Atlanta, where there's 5 million people, and then going to Billings, Montana, where there's 250,000 people, it's a little different.
Yeah, I've never been out there, but when Matt Klinker, one of our Spotlight guys, was out there a couple of years ago, he sent some pictures back and posted them on the blog, and it looks like an absolutely incredibly beautiful area.
Oh, you got that right. It really is a beautiful place. And everywhere you go, you see something that you'll never see again the rest of your life. So it really is an amazing place to be. And if anybody ever has a chance to get out there, they need to go out there, because it's something that you need to see.
So tell us what you're doing during the off season. Where are you living? Are you working in the off season?
Well, I'm currently in the job hunt. Applied for a couple of jobs, just to have a little supplemental income.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm back in Chapel Hill right now working out and hitting and, you know, keeping my body in shape. But I'll be splitting time between here and back home in Atlanta and, you know, just wherever I can get my work done and, you know, get all the off-season workouts and be able to hit, I'll be, so.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next. Tell us about what you do in the off-season. How much throwing do you do? Do you lift? Do you do some running? I mean.
Right. Now I've started my second week of working out again. We had 2 weeks off, so not supposed to throw until January. So, now, you know, I'm glad about that. My arm was a little bit tired after.
Mm-hmm.
College season, you start up and the end of January, so it's a pretty long season with the pro season along with it. So I'm glad that I get a little time off my arm. I've started hitting a little bit off the tee, just nothing too big, just a little bit, keeping the swing intact. But it's mostly just being in the weight room and building strength and conditioning and being able to last a full pro season.
As a catcher, and you're talking about lifting, do you do a lot of work on your legs?
Yeah, I do. I really like to keep my legs in shape, and that's the toughest thing is, those games where you've caught, 4 or 5 games in a row, and your legs are tired, and you need ice baths. So you got to put yourself in the best shape possible to enter the season so that you can last through August.
I wouldn't think that there's anything – I would think any old catcher, there's no such thing as an old catcher with good knees.
Yeah, I've known plenty of them, and their knees are worn out, so I'm not really looking forward to that. But, I love catching, and there's nothing in the world that, would stop me from it.
Tell us what your goals are for 2009.
Just to improve my game and help the Reds out and be the player that I believe I can be and just improve my game, offensively, defensively, calling a game, managing a pitching staff. That's where I want to improve, just everything. So I know it's a lot, but I believe that, I'll work hard enough that I can put myself in the shape. I also want to work on my Spanish, too. I've had some of the Dominicans and the Venezuelans and Puerto Ricans help me out this year, so I think by the end of next year, I'll be pretty good at it.
Well, I think that is a super idea because it just really gives you another tool to sell yourself with.
Right, yeah. It's just like any other job, the guy with the most – background.
The most assets. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If I forced you to tell me right now where you think you'll start the season, where would you guess?
As a catcher in the Reds organization. Is that politically correct enough?
Boy, that's a cop out. That's what that is, Mark.
I don't know, Bill. I hope it's somewhere, a full season somewhere, but I'll play wherever the Reds put me.
I'll tell you from my experience, I'd be very surprised if you didn't start in Dayton. And if you had a good spring, I could even see you starting possibly in Lynchburg.
Well, I'll work my butt off to put myself in the best possible shape I can in. And those aren't my decisions to make, but, hopefully that I'll get the chance to play, either one of those places someday.
Have you talked to any of the guys that have played in Dayton?
Yeah, I've talked to, we had a few guys in Billings get called. Actually, a lot of guys in Billings get called up to Dayton this year.
Yeah, there was an assembly line there for a while.
Yeah, seriously. It just seemed like guys just kept getting hurt this year. But they said it's an unbelievable, unbelievable place. And actually, before I signed, I was flying through Cincinnati, and I was sitting in a layover and struck up a conversation with a couple. I saw a Dayton Dragons t-shirt on, so I started talking to them, and I told them who I was, and they were like, "Oh, wow, we'll be looking forward to you. Dayton's an amazing place. Hopefully one day we'll see you there." So I'm looking forward to it. From everything they've said, it's a great place to play.
Well, they've sold out every game since the franchise opened in 2001.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm a partial season ticket holder myself up there. And it's a fun place to watch a ball game. And from the guys that we've dealt with here at Red Leg Nation that have played at Dayton, all of them say so far, you know, we haven't had anybody make the big leagues yet, but they've all said it's been, you know, their favorite place to play and that the organization up there does everything right.
Yeah, it seems like it. The guys that I've talked to said it's just a great place to play, and I've got, you know, ex-teammates that are in that league too, and they say every time they go to Dayton, it's just a crazy atmosphere, and they really like playing there.
So let's talk a little bit about minor league life overall after one season. Tell us the best thing about life in the minor leagues.
Oh, that you're a professional baseball player. You know, it can't get any better than that. You're playing a game, and you know, you're getting paid, but even though it's a you know, not a lot. But
it's not a lot, but it beats work flipping burgers at McDonald's, right?
Yeah, it sure does. But you're playing a game, the game you love, and you're just getting an opportunity, you know, to you know, really do something that you love, and you know, I'm, you know, so grateful that the Reds gave me the opportunity.
What's the hardest or the worst thing about life in the minor leagues that you've found so far?
The travel was tough, especially in the Pioneer League. You know, there were some long, long bus rides, and
yeah, you've got some 12-hour ones up there, isn't there?
Yeah, we had a 14-hour one to Provo, Utah this year. That one was exciting.
I'm holding up the sarcasm sign.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, at least the ride was pretty. We drove through Yellowstone, so you know.
You have to see a lot of movies on the bus that day, I imagine.
Yeah, we have seen a lot of movies. I don't think there's enough movies I could watch to put another bus trip like that.
Tell us about the biggest surprise, the biggest thing that surprised you about professional baseball so far.
The work that goes into, you know, putting on a game, really. You know, there's so many people in the background, you know, that you know, are working all day, and you know, you get to the ballpark at, you know, noon, 1 o'clock, and people are already there setting up for the game, and you know, you're getting there eating lunch, about to start, you know, preparing yourself for the game, and these guys are, you know, dragging the field and getting the stadium ready. So, you know, at Carolina, it was, you know, an hour before the game, people would, you know, show up, and the support staff, but just the work that goes into putting, you know, a game and a season on is tremendous.
Why don't you tell us about a couple of your teammates at Billings last year that might be kind of under the radar, guys that might surprise us this coming year?
Well, I don't know if you've heard of a guy named Yorman Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
Is he shaving yet?
I don't think so.
But he can hit?
Yeah, he's unbelievably talented. But we had some great talent. We had, you know, great pitching up there. We had Brian Pearl was, you know, a great pitcher. The guy I mentioned earlier, my roommate James Walczak, he's got tremendous stuff. You know, there's a lot of potential that was up in Billings last year. We were really young.
Okay, let me ask you a question about yourself. How confident are you that you'll make it to the big leagues?
You know, I'm extremely confident. I believe, you know, firmly that the Reds drafted me because they believe that I, you know, I'll make it to the big leagues, and you know, you just got to work hard, you know, to prove them right, really. And I've got enough confidence in myself and in my abilities that, you know, if I keep working hard and keep doing the right things, that one day I'll get the opportunity to show what I've got up there.
Do you have a long-term plan in terms of your baseball career? I mean, do you say, you know, I'm gonna go to stay with this as long as I possibly can, or, you know, if I don't move up a level a year, I may have to rethink it at the end of X number of years or anything like that?
No, not really. I haven't really thought that deeply into it, but you know, I'll just keep playing and you know, until it's not any fun anymore. And shoot, I'm having way too much fun with it, so I don't know if that day's ever going to come.
Just enjoying the ride right now, huh?
Yeah, I sure do love playing baseball, and especially professional baseball, and getting a shot to do what I've always wanted to do is, you know, it's an amazing ride, and I love it.
Well, Mark, we want to thank you a lot for your time today and wish you good luck in spring training out in Arizona. I hope we can catch up again sometime during the season.
Yeah, Bill, thank you very much. This is great.
All righty, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.